Sirenauts, and welcome to another episode of Observations with me, your host, Sovereign Sire, brought to you by the good or not so good people at JulieLand.com. As always, I'm here with the legendary, lovely, amazing, and wonderful Dick Avery.
Hi, I'm tired.
Why are you tired,
Dick? I'm overworked.
And today, sealed up tight with us in the Sov Pod, is Greg Edwards.
Hey.
Hi, Greg.
Hey, Sov. It's nice kicking it with you, hanging out.
Agreed. Or as they say in France, d'accord. Why don't you tell the lovely listeners a little bit about yourself?
My name is Greg Edwards. I'm a comedian. You can check me out at gregcomedy.com. I'm an actor as well. I have a popular website called Thug Notes. It's me playing a character called Sparky Sweets, and we summarize literature. We give a summary and analysis, and we break it down in a very hood form that's educational for everybody.
So, and entertaining.
Very entertaining.
Edutainment, as they say. Edutainment. Which is a word my iPhone actually knows.
Really?
I was startled to find out.
E-D-U-T, boom.
Like that. Yeah, it's a real... I was like, oh, it's already in the lexicon. Okay. And I, of course, am Sovereign Sire here with you. So today, we're going to talk about dating. Dating in LA, and maybe more importantly, dating in the comedy world.
Yeah.
Dating when you're a comedian, when you're a performer, when you're...
Do comedians
date each other?
No, do they get lucky? I mean, do they get laid like rock
stars? Yeah, are there chuckle fuckers? Is that a real thing?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Tell me. All right. Okay.
I'll give a story.
Okay, all yeah. Right. You...
Back up.
You want to back up? Back up? Oh, off the mic? Oh,
off the mic.
I'm sorry.
Sorry. Okay, so chuckle fucking... Because my brother called me a chuckle fucker for undisclosed reasons.
All right.
And I wish I could do him justice because he has a really good, like, Werner, like, Herzog.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but he's like, when I look into the face of the chuckle fucker, like, because, you know, Werner Herzog has this, like, famous line where he's like, when I look into the eyes of the bears, like, some people see, you know, all this stuff. When I look into the eyes of the bears, all I see is the cold indifference of nature. My brother is like, when I look into the eyes of the chuckle fucker, all I see is the cold indifference of nature.
Yeah, chuckle fucker's it's a beautiful thing.
Tell our listeners what a chuckle fucker is.
A chuckle fucker is somebody, not even just a girl. I know guy chuckle fuckers too.
Groupies?
Well, they're just people that really enjoy comedy and they want to fuck the comedian. And thank God for them. There's one or dozens in every town. And comedians, they need as much love as they can get. And thank God for chuckle fuckers.
No,
have you ever had one?
Oh, definitely. I've had my share of chuckle fuckers. Well, I've been dating.
You're very cute.
Yeah, when you're single.
I appreciate
but like, wait, yes, when you're single.
Single. Yeah.
But when you were getting would they want you to tell jokes while you were fucking them? Or afterwards, like they fucked you, now give me a joke.
Chuckle fuck. I mean, like the real hardcore chuckle fuckers are like girls that are super into comedy and they see you and they are laughing. Some of them are like creepers, like they'll stick around for like a little bit and check your stuff out. Like they're pure. They just want to fuck you for the art of you being funny, which is beautiful.
Well,
and
no, I think as someone that is admittedly a chuckle fucker, I am. Not that I would fuck any comedian, but I think that there's definitely, I know for me, I get very tired of, maybe because of my job, I get tired of sort of the physically perfect dude bro that has no interests that aside from himself.
Yep.
Although many comedians are pathologically interested in
themselves. So narcissistic.
I think it's more just like, you know, I think one of the biggest signs of intelligence is humor. Yeah. Like you have to be intelligent to understand humor and even more intelligent to craft a joke. You know, it's a skill.
That's true.
And so I think too, for a lot of chicks, it's more, it's almost like without realizing it, it's like, oh, it's, you're interesting. Mm-hmm. It's a sign of intelligence. It's a sign of life.
Yeah.
So in defense of the chuckle fucker, I would say that it's definitely not to you. I'm saying to the listener that might be like, the fuck is that? I'm explaining, get some charisma and you might get laid more, dude, bro.
Totally. I mean, if you hear every girl, when you're talking about dating, every girl says the stock line, I like a guy with a sense of humor. And that shit, I mean,
it's true.
It's fucking true. If you can make a girl laugh, you can get laid or get in her pants, or, you know, you can get a meal.
But you better, have money, too, though.
Yeah, well, not even. I mean, comedians are broke as shit, and they just have so much charisma, so much charm, that you can get girls, man, you know, for real.
Yeah. Well, I think because also, too, I mean, everyone wants to feel good about themselves, you know, like people, like that saying that people are going to remember, like, how you make them feel more than they're going to remember anything else. You know, it's not, they're not going to remember you. They're going to remember, like, oh, when so-and-so's around, I feel happier. I feel entertained, amused, delighted.
So loved.
And that's, and that Pavlovian kind of reaction.
I was going to say, if you notice, too, a lot of comedians, famous ones and ones that have been around or not around anymore, they all seem to have always been married, and you know what I mean? Like, they're all from, you can go far back as like Carl Reiner.
They're
like, you
fucking
know what I
mean? Too.
But you know what I'm saying? Too. Like, and there's just something, I think it's the under thing about comedians that they're like, you know, they're actually probably do better and better than rock stars. Like,
I don't know about that.
Like, you know, well, like, I mean, there is something like I'd never thought about. I met Esau McGraw.
Okay.
Yeah, I met him maybe a couple weeks ago at a comedy show. And we were talking about how he was saying, he's like, the thing about being a comedian is that you travel the world and you see all these things, but you're doing all of it by yourself.
Yeah.
And so it creates this weird kind of emotional dynamic wherein you're very lonely, but you're also incredibly independent. Yeah. So it's like, it can be incredibly difficult to really connect with people after a long period of living that way.
Yeah. You become very callous if you're not built for it. Some comedians are built for it. Some of them aren't. Some of them, I mean, just like people. Some people can't handle being on the road. I've seen a lot of comedians crying at airports. Totally, man. Like, it's my third flight the whole week. I just want to go home. Like, grown men crying. I've seen women comics cry.
Do you tour a lot?
I tour. I mean, most of my tours now are up and down California. And I mean, I go to the East Coast every once in a while for shows. But I'm not doing as much as a lot of my friends are doing. So it's not as many sleepless nights and solo trips.
Is that by choice? I mean, is it like you kind of like you have to grind to?
You got to grind to be able to get to that point. I did my share of like I was a road comic for a while. Where I just did a lot of road work in the Pacific Northwest, and that was a lot of just being alone. And I took a trip. I think it was like 2007 where I just went cross country by myself and just try to book gigs on the way, or just meeting people at different comedy spots, trying to go back to Virginia and coming back, which is super lonely. But it's fun, you know. It's like you get to travel by yourself, and
you got a computer and you got porn.
Yeah, you're good. But chucklefuckers definitely
help make it help ease the burden.
It does. It's
so for like for the aspiring comics out there, what is the like in doing road gigs and stuff like that, what is that like? Like, what's that?
It's,
for those,
you know,
people that are, you know.
A lot of it is booking it yourself, you know, like booking these gigs, one-nighters, so you can get through your travels and make enough money for you to live off of and get your hotel room and stuff like that. Some shows will actually pay for your hotel room if you're like a comic on my stand. I'm not a big comic right now. I'm just up and coming. So, you know, some people will pay for hotels, some people won't. Some people pay you this amount, you know. It's just
sounds like feature dancing for a stripper.
It kind of is, right?
That's what
Like feature dancing, yeah, it's sort of a similar gig where it's you book gigs at a club and maybe you get like a set fee for the night and then everything else is sort of tips and it's like you're traveling a lot.
But the only thing, you don't have to give lap dances.
Yeah. Well,
or have you?
Sometimes. Depends on the night.
Someone once told me that being a stand-up comedian isn't about being funny. It's about the ability to withstand ridicule.
True. They said
it's a lot more about being able to stand in front of a group of people and bomb than it is about being able to tell jokes.
Bomb sometimes. I mean, I've seen super hilarious dudes. Everybody bombs. You know, it's not even. I bombed for 5 minutes last night. I did a great set. I did like a great 15-minute set, and I didn't know I was going to go up again. And one of my friends was like, yo, Greg, I'm tired. You mind like going up? And I was like, all right. But I didn't prepare or anything. Yeah. So I just went in, ate a dick for like 5 minutes. It was beautiful, though.
I ate a dick for 5 minutes last night, too.
we're so connected.
You guys have so much in common.
I'm kidding.
So but everybody does, like, right? Twice. I mean, I haven't gone to comedy stores in a long time, but I mean, like, the Comedy Store or any clubs like that in a long time. But I remember going and you would see comedian after comedian, and you'd be like, ooh, hit, miss, hit, yeah. hit, miss, hit. Like, you, depending on the night, you
and,
know?
Yeah, it's all depend. It's just like life, you know? Yeah. Some days you wake up and you're, boom, everything's on point, and you can do the same exact set, and it won't go over well. It's just, you know, it's one of those things.
So, we were talking about dating. I want to ask. So, yeah, yeah. As a comedian, do you have any opening lines that have you used through the years that worked? How do you break that ice with that chuckle fucker or that girl or the girl you want to date? You see a girl across the bar and... What is,
as like, a comedian?
Yeah, do you say, hey, baby, if I told you had a nice body, would you hold it against me?
I feel like myself, I really don't use lines. And I just growing up, I really don't approach. If a girl wants you to hit on her, she will let you know. You know, she has her
Agreed.
Ways.
Agreed.
Totally.
And
right?
It's like, and it's just good manners to wait. Yeah. You know, like for the signal.
Girl lets you know. I mean, it's the thing is catching the signals. You know, like yeah. some dudes are just oblivious with signals and they yeah. don't know what's going on. When a girl looks at you, you know, like, oh, all right, that's.
Yeah. And she goes like this.
Sometimes, I mean, it's just, I myself stopped trying to pick up girls. Like, right after I graduated from high school and I was in college, I was just done with it. Because it's just the turn down is so awful that I'll just wait. I'll just wait and let her, because she'll give you a signal if she likes you, if she wants you to approach her. So wait for that signal and then approach.
Well, right. there was, I was just watching a Anthony Bourdain. I want to date that guy. Not him in particular, but the guy that has that approach to life. Like, that's yeah. the, like...
The sex, drugs, the crazy life.
It's just someone that like lives their like actually lives their life to like to the fullest. And if you'll notice, he's like never on Twitter, which is like
he isn't.
Yeah, but really. What, he's on Twitter, but he's like never. He's not like tweeting all the time. Yeah, so but what I'm like, oh, there's like a connection there.
He's living.
Yeah, he's out there living. He's
like, too busy to tweet.
But he was in Japan, and okay. they were talking about he was in the sex district, and they're talking about the men that pay to go into the hostess bars where they're not even getting sex. And they're paying high prices. And then the middle-aged women that go see the pretty boys. And mm-hmm. same deal. Like, no sex. But they're... And Anthony Bourdain was like, wow, it just seems crazy to pay all that. And then there's no payoff. And the guy's like, oh, well, like, you know, people hate to be rejected. So they like the scenario because they can just go in. And, like, there's no fear of rejection.
It's true.
And I think that's, like... It's so true. Like, rejection is so painful. Like, we'll go through great lengths... to avoid rejection, which is, I think, like, you have Tinder and mm-hmm. you have Twitter and like all of the way that people use like social media and even like why people don't like to talk on the phone. They like to text and this and that. It's like people just like have a pathological fear of rejection, even to the point where it's like they don't want to like they just want to text and they don't want to talk because even like day to day, they're afraid their friend might reject them.
Their
like,
voice might be rejecting. Yeah. You know? Like a rejecting voice. It's true.
Yeah.
People want to get away from that.
No, there's like if I really like a guy that I'm kind of seeing or whatever, I'll go through this weird hierarchy in my head of like, is it okay to text now or is that too strong? Is that if I call, is that rude?
Well, the
like,
thing
like it's like because it's like true, this new but thing think that of we it have as, to negotiate now.
Yeah, but think like, I think it's more difficult for a guy, first of all, and I also think that like nowadays because of trends and fads and this and that and different generationals and because I'm old, you just don't know what the, you know, the rules for a 30-something is different than for a 20-something.
True.
And different for than a teenager. And you don't know...
Are you currently dating a teenager?
I don't date. I don't date, okay? I don't waste
time. Are you currently turning out a teenager?
I love my young girls. I love my young girls. So what I like is like... But it's like the whole idea is just that it's like you never know what it is. Do you know what I mean? It's
oh, yeah, you don't. You're just out there.
That's it's the same with... I always relate it to the like same thing when you say goodbye to hip-hop artists. You never know what handshake to give. You never know what it is. I don't know if it's this. What is it? What is it today?
How did you meet your girlfriend?
I was mentoring... I used to work at this company. It's called Friends of the Children, where... I was a mentor and I had like 7 boys that I mentored with. I saw them like 4 hours a week, each kid. And she was a bartender in San Francisco. And during the days, she would volunteer at different places. So she was volunteering at the school I was working at. And I was really cool with the teacher. And I just saw her one day. And I thought, I mean, I just broken up with Jasmine. I was broken up with her. And I was just going through like, man, fuck it. I'm not trying to date at all. And it just popped up, man. Yeah, we've just been together for 6 years.
All right. Wow. So how does, like, were you doing stand-up already at that point?
Yeah.
And how, like, how does she, how does that in terms of you traveling, is that why you don't travel as much anymore?
No, I mean, I'm just like, I was trying to figure out what I needed to do to get to a better point in comedy. So moving to LA has like cut down on my traveling a little bit because I'm stable here and I got a job here and I have the web series that I'm doing and stuff. But no, she's a very independent girl. She has her master's in public health. And so she travels a lot. Like, she was just in Africa for 6 weeks.
Wow.
She's going to be in Cambodia in February for like a month. So wow. We have a very independent relationship because we trust each other too. She knows me and she's like, Greg, yeah, she knows I'm not trying to fuck anybody else.
Right.
You know, so it helps.
So you guys don't have like an open relationship, polyamory, no. this, and that. Like, because you also find, like, for me, what's been interesting is, well, I mean, it was a little bit true in New York, but. Here in LA, it seems like...
Polyamory?
It seems like everyone, one, there's this new like social thing where it's like you meet someone and sometimes you could know within a half an hour like everything they do with their dick or their pussy. Like in this weird way where it's like, why do I know this much about like what's the life of, the secret life of your genitals? You know what I mean? Like, I'm in a polyamorous relationship since like we have an open understanding. It's like, we have an open understanding. We do this, and that. Doggy's okay. Anal's not. I don't, like, all, you know, it's like within 20 or 30 minutes of knowing someone, you know, the ins and outs of like their whole like
that's
sexual
relationship.
You know? And it's like, cause I guess maybe cause they're inviting you to join.
True.
You know what I mean? Whatever the thing is. But I've noticed that in LA, that's definitely... Like, everyone here is so non-committal and, everyone's in an open relationship.
I feel like it's easier that way, though. Like, it's easier for actors and entertainers to be in an open relationship because they're always bouncing and they really don't know if somebody's going to be really there.
And
then,
I think
it's non-committal. It's scary.
I think that men also are always looking for they always want to have, like, one foot out the door to the next big thing. Like, they're all waiting they're with some great girl, but also they're like, I just got to be ready just in case... Angelina Jolie splits up with Brad. I gotta be ready to go because you. And they're like, "There's not a chance in hell. Like, I have a shot."
Love train is coming.
Yeah, you know, it's always thinking like, "There's something better around the corner. There's something better around the corner," and they're afraid of commitment.
But I think it's fear of just being with somebody and going through that just hookup phase and actually falling for that person. I think that's what people are really scared of. I don't think. I mean, a lot of guys, true, and women are like, "Oh, I wanna do something to get this next person or the next guy that I want to fuck with." But I think it's all fear. I think everybody's just been
right?
hurt.
Like, it's like, to me, it seems like everyone's really cavalier. I don't get laid very much off camera, like, mm-hmm. at all, because my thing now is just that because of my job, like, I get all like the sexual / beauty validation
that you need.
I mean, it's like a ridiculous amount. It's like disproportionate to, like, because of Twitter and all these, like, I'm inundated constantly with people sort of giving me these very positive messages. And so out in the dating scene, like, I'm like Teflon in that way where it's like suddenly being Superman. So you're out and it's like, no matter what people are throwing at you, you're like, that means nothing to me. I don't care. Are you interesting though?
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me what you think about string theory. I don't, you know.
you're actually looking for substance.
Yeah. Cause
okay.
I'm going to have amazing sex at work. Like,
exactly.
All the time. You know what I mean? So it's like kind of, granted that sex lacks intimacy, which is like super key component.
Yeah.
But if all we're doing is hooking up, we're not going to get intimacy there either.
Nope.
So it's kind of like, I'm like, if I just want to hook up, I can go to work.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking for more intimacy. So all that superficial stuff doesn't work. And I found that in LA, it's crazy, the hookup culture, just the kind of...
But that's everywhere, I think. I don't think it's just LA.
Well, I think LA, I feel like the coast, New York and LA, more LA than New York because LA is sunny. And it's easy. When it's sunny outside, you feel more free. You don't want to be attached to people. And I feel like with New York, it's cold, man. You want to snuggle up. You know, you want to get with that stay together weather.
Well, in New York, it's like you are forced to be intimate with people from the time you get up to go to sleep because of the subway. Because of the crowding. And then the other thing is because, like, the cost of living is so incredibly expensive. Like, for me, there was this camaraderie of, like, we're all trying so hard to just survive.
Just get by.
So there was, like, this really basic intimacy where even, like, friendships, like, were much more intimate.
Mm-hmm.
It, because you were kind of united in this, like, man, like, I've got to somehow find $2,000 to live in this shoebox and I'm a burlesque performer or I'm a comedian or whatever. So like that means I'm working five jobs.
Yeah.
So there's this kind of like, you're at least all kind of connected in the sense of like life's hard, but mm-hmm. we're together. And in LA, it's like living's easy.
Yeah. I mean, in my car. I don't get to see anybody. I'm yelling at people in traffic every day. And when I get out of my car, I'm going to work in my air conditioned. Then I get back in my car. I don't need to be around people. Yeah. That's LA's culture, definitely.
People suck.
People, that's LA's culture. People suck. New York, you're tight, and it does definitely affect dating. And yeah, I like New York. New York's so
I love New York's great. So much I miss fun. It.
Dating in New York though is great because I always say it's so much easier. I'll meet you at a bar in 15 minutes on the corner of so and so, and you can just you could be walking in one direction, go like get that call. Oh yeah, sure. I'll turn around, get in a cab, and go right back. And it's so much easier to get drunk and get in a taxi. Yeah. There's mm-hmm. like. Way better social thing in New York City than going on here. Here it's yeah. like somebody calls you up, yeah, let's go get dinner. Where are you at? I'm in Santa Monica.
No.
I don't right. think so.
Because you got to drive, man. Yeah. If this place had New York's, well, and it did at one point, if this place had that infrastructure, that subway,
yeah.
this whole city would be so much doper.
Yeah.
Because everybody's so scared to drive and you're high and you're drunk and you're going to get pulled over.
Uber helps.
Uber is like
Uber and Lyft does help.
I'm gonna steal a joke from Dane Cook. I went and saw him. He was like came and did a set, but he was talking about Uber and he's like Uber and Tinder. And he's like Uber's become like a hoe delivery service. It's like,
somebody, I'm gonna send you a car, girl. Come on, see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like true. I'll pay for it. It's because it's like yeah,
$20. I got you. Get in the car.
Come over now.
Oh, dang.
They don't even have to take you to the bar anymore.
Rub my belly.
God. No, it was a crazy show. It was like there was a heckler in the audience and it was like threatening violence within
were you
at the
minutes. Factory, Laugh Factory?
Yeah. Okay. No, it was the improv.
Do people
it was the Hollywood improv.
Are people
still
stupid enough to heckle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's almost like they go there just to do that, right?
I don't know what's wrong with people. Yeah, people just want to be heard, man. And you know. If the comic's talking, I had a girl last night just yapping it up. And I'm just like, what are you? Shut up. You know, I don't want to be so mean, but shut up. What are you doing? But, you know, I did it in a nice way.
Okay.
Nice way. Just say, shut up.
No,
bitch.
No, I did a joke about, I got this joke about being beat up. And I try to open it up by asking people in the audience if you've been punched in the face. Mm. And I go to guys and girls, you know. And it's funny. A lot of girls up there have never been punched in the face. But this one girl, I was like, you've been punched in the face? She was like, yes. He did it. Like, I was like, whoa.
Fuck yeah.
That's good.
That's
I like
hilarious.
That.
And then we just went into it, and it happened to be her brother. Oh. And he punched her in the face as a kid. And then she kept talking. I was like, oh, I see why he punched you in the face.
Exactly.
Can you punch her in the face again? You know, just shit like that. But it was fun. It was fun.
I just had this thought. Maybe I think the reason that people like comedians is because it's also this, like, false intimacy because you're up there like sort of telling stories about your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're sitting in the audience, you can feel like you know, like, oh, I know him. Like, it's like, so you've kind of already been flirting, but you don't know it.
Your friends are already.
Yeah.
And if it's a good comedian too, they kind of open it up like to be friends.
I got a question.
Okay.
Uh-huh. I got a question for you. I'm just curious about it. Would you say you're single? Would you ever
Dick
date?
Looks so cute right
would
now.
Would you ever date a porn star?
Would I ever date a porn star? Yeah. Yeah.
Who's out having sex with guys for work?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. If she's safe and, you know, we can, if I'm all
would you
about,
be worried about like the competition? Like, hey,
nah,
I'm not that good.
Nah,
yeah.
Nah.
These guys
are you a unicorn?
I believe in myself and I know I'm a good person and I'm charismatic. And look, if somebody wants to, I always tell my girlfriends and whenever I've had, you know, different girlfriends in my life, I'm like, look, if you want to step out and you want to do something and you want to lose this, by all means, do your thing. But you're going to lose something. You know, I just am confident in myself. I'm just like, do
like,
what you got to
do. That's kind of like the way I've always been, too. It's like my girlfriend's like, you don't want to be here, just go ahead. I ain't going to tell you not
but
to.
But you wouldn't be afraid of like the social stigma of it?
Nah, not anymore. I mean, it's so much shit
what
now.
If you had a TV show?
If I had a TV show? Yeah, I don't care. Like, I mean, maybe in 10 years I might care more, but at the point in my 34 body right now, I don't care about anything. You know? I'm just like, my dad is cool with me. My mom is cool. My sister and my brother, I talk to them. My friends that I've known for years, I'm in contact with them. And that's, Everybody else, if they want to come in and out of my lives, cool. But I got my core. I got my people. I don't care about anything else.
You got people.
I do. Well,
I think there's definitely like a connection between porn stars and comedians. Like,
totally. I mean, it's the same shit.
I think it's maybe because it's like it goes back to almost like vaudeville, where it's like in a certain.
I know a lot of porn stars who have dated comedians, though. Yeah, a lot of porn stars have dated comedians.
Yeah,
it's not. I mean, you're out there. You're in porn. I feel like you're giving yourself. You're giving so much of yourself. And with comedy, it's the same way. You're on stage. And I'm telling you these stories, even if you're not feeling it, you know, I'm still giving you stories about myself and my life. So you're giving your all. It's these artistic abilities to just show people what's inside of you. And, you know, people are different groups are attracted to that. I feel like jazz musicians and comics used to hang out, like you said, burlesque. All those people, that was a whole crew.
It's this feeling like show of like show folk where it's like you're not like a real celebrity. Like even really successful stand-ups, like in the scheme of things, it's kind of not the
you're a jester.
It's not the same. And I think with porn, it's like it's all burlesque. Yeah. Like it's all kind of like hurly burly, like kind of stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I totally agree. I feel like we're all doing shit and trying to Kevin Hart is probably the biggest comedian right now.
The smallest
and the biggest comedian. You know, he's grossing so much money, doing so many films.
I'm not even a fan because he plays the same character in every fucking thing he does.
But he's the biggest topping comedian right now. And if Robert De Niro comes in while Kevin Hart's talking, everybody's looking at Robert De Niro.
Right.
Because it's, like you said, it's comedy and people don't respect comedy in the same way they respect acting. You know, as a whole thing. So,
actors are idiots.
They totally are idiots. Totally narcissistic.
I always tell people, actors are people in search of character because they don't have any.
That's why they like jumping to different characters. I'm an actor too. You know, but yeah, I totally agree.
Comedians are by far, I have always found more creative, more interesting, and can do this, can hold a conversation. Yeah. An actor is just like, where's the script?
Yeah, what's my line?
Well, because you have to be smart to tell a joke.
You got
to
move.
You have to. Yeah.
You know, it's like I always tell people, like, the best actors I've ever met in my life was a long time ago. It was I shot a bunch of wrestlers from WCW or whatever. I shot, like, Macho Man. I shot, like, all the top guys. Shit. Those guys are actors. Because it was before the show. So it was, like, literally, they're backstage getting, like, here's what you're going to do tonight. And then they go out live in front of a million people and nail that performance
every time.
And I always said to myself, I don't even think De Niro could do this if he tried.
Not that physicality.
Not even just the acting of like really a real actor couldn't get out there and just wing it.
They go
like,
for
it's
it.
Like an improv, like at its best.
A lot of those dudes are just former high school football players that didn't want to.
You know they do call there's a reason they call it white trash Broadway.
But I think there's something to it. I think with like my joke is always that, you know, if porn's where girls go to work out their daddy issues, then stand up is where guys go to work out their mommy issues. But it's this thing of I think what can make a why you see so many comedians turn in these great, amazing, dramatic performances like later in their careers.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Why you see like some porn performers can cross over in this way that's like really sort of dynamic for people is because it is like what you're saying. It's like you're kind of pulling a real part of yourself out. And you kind of have immediate access to emotions that a lot of people spend most of their time suppressing.
Pushing down,
You know, because it's like we're not supposed to say the mean, snarky things that we think. Like, we're not supposed to say those things. We're supposed to be polite and, like, kind of whatever. And it's just, like, with porn, it's the same thing. Like, you're not supposed to be sort of having this immediate, intimate, like, crazy thing. But you're able to kind of pull that out and be like, I'm going to go against, like, every social convention. Like, everything I've been taught is proper. I'm going to go against it.
So the story here is... Comedians and porn stars. We should start a dating website.
Yeah.
It should be a bar. Like, we should have a drink together.
I think it's at the Comedy Store.
Is that what we're drinking together?
I have seen a couple
of porn stars at the Comedy Store.
There's been a few. I know a few that have gone.
There one night.
Yeah, Bonnie Rotten was just at a show there. Like, she was like tweeting last night. She was like, oh, I'm at the Comedy Store. And I was like, I wonder who she's fucking.
I wonder who won the bill.
I love Bonnie Rotten. I'm not implying that she's doing anything wrong. I think we have conquered.
Did we really talk about interracial dating?
Like, come on, let's talk about it.
Let's talk about
it. Come on, Dick. Is it okay?
No.
We'll have to have you back.
We got 30 minutes. All right, all right.
We'll have to have you back because I totally want to have that
conversation. I want to have a conversation too. That's beautiful. I don't get to talk about it that much.
All right. Well, that concludes another episode of Observations with Sovereign Sire. We were observing the relationship between comedians and porn stars and dating comedians and why women like men with a sense of humor. I think we nailed it all.
That and was, a lot of money.
Yes. Very serious, real issues affecting the world here at Observations. So, Greg, why don't you remind people where they can find you?
You can check me out on Twitter at Greg the Grouch. My website is gregcomedy.com. Go to Thug Notes on YouTube, Wisecrack. Check out theblipsters.com. That's my new series I'm trying to do. Yeah, check it out. Thank you so much, Sav. Thank you, Dick. This has been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much. And my Sirenauts, you all know where to find me at ilovesav.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Sovereign Sire. Bye!